because I'm constantly like thinking about ways to like kill myself, I don't see my future because I don't have like a set future in my mind that I know I want to do, which makes it hard to like really motivate myself to do anything.
Hey there, my name is Sean, and this is Suicide Noted. On this podcast, I talk with suicide attempt survivors so that we can hear their stories. Every year around the world, millions of people try to take their own lives, and we almost never talk about it. We certainly don't talk about it enough. And when we do talk about it, many of us, including me, we're not very good at it. So one of my goals with this podcast is to have more conversations and hopefully better conversations with attempt survivors. Now, if you are a suicide attempt survivor and you'd like to talk, please reach out. hello@suicidenoted.com. We have had some problems with our email, so as a backup, please use suicidenoted@gmail.com for the next week or two and you should be okay. If you've sent an email in the past few days from when this episode is released, please shoot me an email there. Again, that's suicidenoted@gmail.com. I want to thank everybody who has been a part of this podcast, our guests, our listeners, and of course, our members. If you'd like to check out our membership or learn more about the podcast, have a look in the show notes. Extra special thanks to two lifetime members, Helena and Mo. Really appreciate your generous, generous support. Finally, we are talking about suicide on this podcast, and we don't hold back, so please take that into account before you listen or as you listen. But I do hope you listen, because there is so much to learn. Today, I am talking with Jessie. Jessie lives in New Jersey, and she is a suicide attempt survivor. Hey, Jessie.
Wait a second. I thought you were a man. Why?
You thought I was a man?
Why did I think you were a man?
I don't know.
Jessie, maybe because Jessie, because I'm an idiot. Where are you? Where do you live?
I'm in New Jersey, like an hour from the city.
Okay. All right, Jessie in New Jersey. Wait a second. I've only spoken to one person, believe it or not. I think only one person from New Jersey. So I appreciate you reaching out and connecting with me. Thank you. Are we here to talk about suicide? Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Yeah. It would be a little weird for people to get on here and us be talking about your cool tattoos or Jersey. It comes up, of course. It might be a little part of it. Not that anyone needs to know this, but you have perfect teeth.
Oh, thank you.
Now, here's the part of the conversation where I take a deep breath and I say, Sean, you have been given so many things, the gifts and blessings and other things that you've gotten, but I didn't get great teeth and I had braces and they still suck. So I look at you and is there a little part of me that's envious? You bet your ass there is, Jessie. Sorry. I noticed that you paint your fingernails different colors.
Yeah, they're like fangs.
Jessie has got her pinky and pointer finger white or light gray with, and they're actually pointed. The middle finger and the ring finger are grayish. So when she makes that thing with her hands, it looks like she just said fangs, teeth. Why is that?
I just think it looks cool. And I like having shorter nails because I work on cars. I need to have some shorter nails, but I still like the pointed nails. So yeah. This was like the best of both worlds.
Are you a mechanic?
For myself.
You like working on cars?
Yeah.
Jessie in New Jersey, who is joining me to talk about, among other things, stuff. Probably some hard stuff that you've gone through. Where do you want to start? Ooh, putting the pressure, putting it on you. Where do you think this starts?
I guess I might as well just start when I first came to the realization and was basically told that I had depression. And that was when I was in fifth grade. We had like the scoliosis test. So all the kids had to wear bathing suits. Like they were all told, parents, have your kid wear a bathing suit to school. Like obviously wear clothes on top of it. So we all went to the nurse's office, had to like take our clothes off. So we just had the bathing suits. And then they had us bend over and check everybody's spines. So they kept going. They're like, okay, next, 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 next. And then I get in and they just went, ooh, sorry. and then made me leave. I was like, I don't know what that means. They didn't give me any information. I was like, I don't even know what scoliosis is. We're just bending over. After that, like, they ended up calling my parents and telling them, and they took me to this hospital in Pennsylvania where they did a cast on me. In order to do this cast, they had to hang me from my wrists and my ankles. I'm just hanging in midair. Then there's two guys, one on each side of me, with like a roll of like the cast stuff, just throwing it back and forth to each other. So it's going around me.
Hang on. So this sounds medieval. I'm sorry. This sounds medieval. So
it felt medieval.
I know about scoliosis. I think most people have a little bit of it, if I understand how that works. But I don't understand how you had it and then they didn't tell you, but now you're in a medieval dungeon.
Yeah, so the nurse at school didn't tell me anything. They called my parents and told them, and my parents didn't even really know fully what it was, although my mom does have it, but way less than I do. My mom's mother had it, so it seems to be going through the women in our family. Mine was dramatically worse. My spine is shaped like an S. Yeah, that's when they took me to the hospital because they needed to know more about it.
And you're in a cast, though?
Yeah, so they make the braces. Like, it's like a back brace, and they use the cast as a mold. They make it so low that it's like going down like my hips.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like waddling through the hospital back to the doctor's office. And now this doctor's office is the smallest room I've ever seen. There was just like the table and just a little bit of room to walk and then the desk. So they say there's not enough room in there for my parents.
Can I just say real quick, if a doctor has a room that small, it can mean a number of things, but the first thing that popped into my head is you got a demoted doctor. One more wrong move and you're out of the system, buddy. What does he say? What happens in that little room?
He starts telling me how he believes my life will go. So he knew that I was in dance and he was like, you're never going to be able to dance again. You can't swim again. He even went as far to say, you will never get married because no guy will ever love you because you can't have kids.
Now we know why he's in that room. No. I mean, obviously he shouldn't have a job, but yeah. Wow.
Yeah. 10 years old hearing that. I'm like.
And parents aren't in the room.
No, parents didn't know that happened until I was 23.
You told them.
Yeah. I said that and I was like, this is what they said. And they're like, we never knew that because we couldn't hear.
Do you
and
think
it was closed? I was like, why didn't they leave the door open at least?
Do you think either of your parents would have flipped out if you had said that and they heard it?
Oh, yeah. My mom would have lost it and she would have filed a complaint. My mom loves writing letters.
If she hears this, am I going to get a letter in the mail or
no.
An email?
No.
Who the hell are you talking to my daughter? Why are you laughing? You can't laugh when you talk about this. And you were 23. How old are you now?
30.
Oh, you look young.
Huh, thank you.
Is that good?
I think it's good.
So at 10 years old, that happens. How does that connect with the depression? Because that's how we kind of started it off.
Just having scoliosis was one thing. But then after that doctor said all of that, it just hit me. I didn't see a reason to be alive anymore. And I'm going through school, not knowing what to do. And it's like fifth grade. And of course, that's when kids start dating each other.
No, what the hell is going on in New Jersey when you're in fifth grade? Because my experience in New York.
It's like a pseudo, like.
Okay.
You would be like, oh, like they were like my girlfriend, like quotes.
Jesse, I want to share something with you. And I know this is not about me, but I want to tell you something and I mean it. Occasionally the audience wants to know a little bit more about me. They do. They're like, hey, I get these emails. I want to hear more about you. And you're looking at me. A lot of people have never seen me. So this won't come as a huge shock. I'm not joking. I think it was fourth or fifth grade. Where I peaked with women. I had like four or five girlfriends. So what you're saying actually does make sense when I think back. I want to tell you that when I say I peaked, I mean, after that, it was a dramatic drop. Now back to you. So your classmates are connecting in the way that they're starting to connect with I like you stuff.
Yeah. And my best friend that I had became popular. I wasn't friends with her anymore. And then I lost my other friend to becoming popular and a new girl moved in my neighborhood. And I guess she was better than me. So I was losing my friends.
Uh-huh.
And then I did end up making a couple new ones, but it took a bit. It wasn't like until sixth grade So at the end of fifth grade, you know how they do like superlatives in like your high school year? Yeah, they did like superlatives. The end of fifth and sixth grade, they made like a PowerPoint. They showed the whole school. So the PowerPoint was like an accumulation of the year. So like any sports things were in it, the dances were in it, all of that. So they go through all these superlatives and then, and they're all nice. And right. then all of a sudden, they start putting up ones that are just completely negative.
Wait a second. So that administration should be fired. I'm not joking. That's ridiculous.
I don't think they approved it. I think it was put in. Well, it was put in by the popular kids. Not any of the popular kids that I used to be friends with, but
Jesus.
It was also the same popular kids that took away my superlative in my senior year of high school, but that was for best car.
Okay, we're back to the cars. What was the superlative? I mean, I know where this is going. There was a negative superlative about you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I see my name and my face. And then there was a guy's name and his face. And I don't remember who the guy was because I was just so taken aback by this. And it just said, ugliest girl and ugliest boy of fifth grade.
Brutal. Ridiculous.
And I just went.
Sick.
Okay. And then they showed one other slide after that. That was like another negative one. And it was immediately shut down because it's like, you can't, you don't press the button. They had it on auto. They never told my parents.
Mm.
My mom didn't know this happened until I was 23 when we were like going over things. But there was a lot of other things we realized when I was 23. Yeah. So they put me on the PowerPoint team for sixth grade. That was their solution. I was there for one meeting, made one slide. I think it was like for basketball. And then I left. I was like, I don't want anything to do with this. They're the only other kids in there were the popular kids that were doing that, and they were all rude and mean. I was like, I don't want to be here. Yeah. And those same kids were the ones that took my best car senior year of high school. I technically won. They counted the votes and I won, but then they switched it and gave it to somebody else.
Yeah. What kind of car did you have?
A smart car. I had a little smart car.
And that won?
Yeah. Cause it was the weird, it was the most random car. Everyone else had like normal sedans.
You are in fifth, sixth grade. We can call it saying you're ideating, right? You're thinking about dying. Are you thinking about it in a way of like, it's always tricky to find the words to something like this. Like, man, I don't want to be here. This is too hard. Or like even going so far as to like, how might I do that?
I don't know if I really honestly put too much thought into what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew that I didn't want to go back to school. I was thinking I could never dance again. Like there was so many things happening. Then that PowerPoint thing. And I was just like, that's like the final straw of it. It wasn't that day. It was like a couple of days after. It was already summer. Just one day I remember just getting up from my room and going into my bathroom. I mean, obviously I don't think this would have done anything to the extent that I really wanted it to.
Sure.
But I just took every single aspirin pill I could find. When you're younger, you think like you're taking a lot. Sure. I don't know how many I took because I woke up the next day and I was fine.
I mean, sure. You look back and you're like, that probably wouldn't have done much damage, but that's not really the point. The point is you did something to harm yourself or maybe even take yourself out and you were like 11.
Yeah, I was 11. And all I knew was if you take a lot of pills, you'll probably die.
Yeah.
So in my rationalization, that's exactly what I did, which did not go the way I planned at all.
Then you wake up and you're like, what?
I was like, okay, that did absolutely nothing. I had like dance intensives in the summer. I kept dancing anyway. So I just like went and did that and just kept moving on with life after that.
Well, so just to be clear here, not only did you dance again rather quickly after that moron doctor said
that. I never stopped dancing.
Wow.
And I did swim a couple times after that too. And you would think rationally, I'd be like, well, if I did the first two, the last one is probably false as well. But my mind didn't.
What's the last one?
That way. The last one was that, like, I couldn't have kids. No guy would ever want me. I'll never get married. Like, whatever the doctor was saying in that moment. Those were, like, the basics of it.
Well, there's a difference, though, right? Yes. Well, he's a moron.
Yeah.
I mean, he should be fired. I hope he's not working anymore. He should probably be in jail. I have no problem saying that. But dancing and swimming, you could just go do, right? But the other thing, the third thing, that kind of requires somebody else. So that's a little bit kind of different. And maybe we'll get to that. I'm curious to learn more if you want to share if it's part of this sort of larger story. So when you're 11 or 10 or 11 and this happens, does that feeling, well, let's use the word depression. I know it can be used in a lot of different ways, or people use it in various ways. Does that sort of follow you, hang over you for middle school, high school? I don't know if you go to college after those years.
Yeah, I don't think it ever really went away. It would go in waves, but I don't remember a time in my life that I didn't feel depressed. Right after the fifth grade, it was some point in sixth grade, my mom ended up getting cancer. So then I had to put all of my thought into that.
Sure.
Because my dad was not doing anything. I had to like be the person to help my mom at like 12 years old going through cancer. My mom still swears that she told me she wasn't going to die. But the whole time I just remember thinking, my mom's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't remember that conversation at all. And I had to step up and take my dad's position because he did absolutely nothing.
Is he still in the picture?
Yeah.
Obviously, your mom lived.
Yeah.
So your parents are both around.
My entire childhood, I was wishing they'd get a divorce because it was just, they should not have been together, but they stayed together. And I don't really understand why.
I don't understand how my parents stayed together either, man. So how many suicide attempts do you have in total?
About three. I don't know if I would say there's a fourth, really, depending how you really look at it, I guess.
Well, I'm going to rely on how you look at it. Number one, after fifth grade or sixth grade?
Yeah, it was between fifth and sixth grade.
I wanted to ask you, your mom at the time, this is before she got diagnosed, I believe. Did she or your father ever find the empty aspirin container?
They thought nothing of it if they did.
Got it.
Because I took aspirin as like a pain reliever. So they probably just thought, oh, she needs a new bottle. They didn't keep track of my medicine. Like I was in charge of it. I was like, oh, I need another bottle. They'd be like, okay, cool.
I don't know if this is like for you. When I was growing up, my parents, they had a liquor cabinet, or it was more of like a carousel, and they would mark it. They didn't want us to drink their shit. I had this image of people marking an aspirin bottle or another bottle. Oh, a lot of this is gone. What's going on? No, I don't know if that's a thing. How old are you for the second attempt?
19.
Okay. College or working?
I was in college. It was in between my first year of university, and then I went to community college, and then I went to another college. It was in between the university and community college.
What was happening with that attempt?
I actually ended up dating this guy for like 3 months, and everything was going great. There was nothing wrong. And then we met up at a restaurant. We're talking, and he just looks like somebody gave him the worst news of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's wrong? And he's like, we have to break up. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And basically, his therapist told him that we had to break up. The therapist said, what are the major things that are happening in your life? He said, school, work, and my girlfriend. And she said, okay, which one's disposable?
Oof.
And she said, used those words, which really just, that destroyed me at the time. I was like, wow, I'm just disposable. And then the fact that he like verified that, like, because he went through and did it. And we met up right after the therapy session too. So it was like immediate. He put like, I don't know how much thought he did between the therapy session and when we met up. I went home and I was just like completely distraught. And then he went home and didn't leave his room for 2 weeks. I kind of had a feeling that he had like some type of mental something happening when we were together. But after the 2 weeks and his mom sent him to the hospital, he was diagnosed as bipolar.
Mm.
And I could totally see that looking back because he was up and down, up and down, up and down mood wise. Mm-hmm. So that made complete sense to me. But he was stuck in his bed for 2 weeks because what the therapist didn't I don't know if they understand, but didn't go through with him was he hated school and hated work. And I was the only thing that was making him happy.
Wow.
And then he dropped me and now he's just, it destroyed him completely. I didn't know how to take that. I was like, I don't know where to go with this. And then for 3 months, I was just in a deep depression. So it was literally the 3 months like between university and community college, like the summer break. I could not eat or drink anything except for the only things that my body would keep down because I would involuntarily just keep throwing everything up. the only things my body would keep down are apples and that the Arizona Arnold Palmer drink.
Right. That you remember specifically, even the brand name. Wow.
Yeah. Like, it's still to this day, I'll drink like Arnold Palmer's all the time because it just, it makes me feel better.
Right.
I just have like a stack of cans. Like,
you have one right in front of, can you pull one up right now? Do you have one like near you? She's got one.
I have the strawberry one right now.
Arnold Palmer strawberry. Yeah. This is a giant can.
Oh, yeah.
This is twice the size of your head. And you're, you know, like, you have an average size head, I'd say. It's larger than your head. So what happens there? So what leads you from where you're, what you're going through there to actually attempting?
I wouldn't say that there's a one moment attempt. Mm-hmm. I would say it was a 3 month long attempt. 3 months of not eating, beating myself down to the point that, like, I was passing out on the stairs because, like, there was no nutrition left. Right. I stopped taking like any of the vitamins or the pills that I had. I was just literally, my whole being was living off of Arnold Palmer and apples. And I didn't eat the like apples a lot. Like, I'd maybe eat like once every 2 days or something. And I'd just be living off Arnold Palmer. I was involuntarily throwing everything up, but I think consciously I was trying to make it so I would eventually die.
Like, what would you call the cause of death there, should you have died, if you had died?
Probably some type of malnutrition.
You know, it's interesting. I went through a little period of my life where I had a really hard time eating, which I later figured out was like mostly just sort of massive anxiety. I know that because once I started taking, what is it, benzos or whatever that family of drug is, I was able to eat. But it took a while to figure that out. And I remember I was eating so little. I would only drink the shakes. But I remember my brain really being affected at some point by just not eating enough.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't think. And so I imagine for you, it was like that, but multiplied.
Yeah. I did almost nothing for 3 months. The only things I would do is I'd like get up and I'd go for a walk just to get out of the house. But that was the opposite of what I should have been doing because now I'm exercising.
Right. But I could see I could see why you'd want to get out of the house and take a little walk.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And consciously, I was like, if I walk, then it's like, now I'm doing more exercise, and then it's going to be even worse going on. I don't know if I ever stopped and thought to myself, I hope that at the end of this process, it leads to me dying.
Yeah.
But I was pushing myself there. I don't know if it was a complete conscious thought. Yeah, looking back on it, I was 100% pushing myself in that direction and just hoping that it would work it itself out.
Parents, whomever else is in your life, this isn't at all like pointing fingers. I'm just curious. Like, does anybody say, Jesse, you're not doing okay. Let's go to here. Let's do this. Let's try this.
I mean, my dad doesn't pay attention.
Right.
My mom noticed a bit, but she would just get me things to eat and I would eat them. Like, I'd be like craving something, eat it, and then end up throwing it up anyway. And she would get me food, she'd get me like drinks, and I wasn't not eating it. I don't know if she knew I kept throwing it up. The only time I ate something that wasn't Arnold Palmer apples was when she was like giving it to me.
So how do you get out of it?
So when I started community college, I joined a group on campus. It was actually the first time it was happening. I was on the board of it. It was for depression and suicide.
Really?
I don't know if I should say the name of the company, but I mean, they're a great company. To Write Love on Her Arms.
To Write Love on Her Arms. Does it still exist?
Yeah, it's like to help people with mental health. And their number one thing is like anti-suicide to help people with that. Yeah, it was big with like bands in the punk scene for a long time. And I was in that for a while. So that's how I knew about it. And then they had school chapters. We were like the community college chapter. Doing that really helped me because I was with other people that understood. I was okay for almost 2 months and then got punched right back down. How I was in like the music scene and stuff. I wrote songs for a long time. I knew a guy for a while that did producing. And he was like, oh, like, let's meet up and go over your music. I was like, okay, cool. So we wanted to make like a mini EP type thing. So we meet up at his condo because that's where his recording studio was. Now, to the outside people, that's like, why would you go there? But in the music scene, everybody's recording studios were in their houses because you don't have to pay for another place.
Sure.
I go there. We talked about music for maybe 30 minutes until he started forcing vodka down my throat. And long story short, I was there for 24 hours. He locked me in the condo and ended up sexually assaulting me 3 times. He just randomly decided to unlock his door. Like, he padlocked the condo door from the inside. He unlocked it and was like, you can go home. Jesus. And gave me gas money. I did not know what to do with that. I was just like in a daze for days after that.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me going to the counselor at the community college, because the counselor was part of that group that I was on the board of. I was like telling her what happened. She was like, do you realize what you're telling me? And I was like, what am I saying? Like, it never occurred to me what happened. And she was like, he literally sexually assaulted you 3 times and almost kidnapped you.
No, he didn't. He did kidnap you.
When I think of kidnapping, I think of like all those true crime things. And I'm like, I can't call myself a kidnap victim, but.
Well, I don't know the exact definition. It may not matter here, but.
I mean, I guess I was held against my will for 24 hours. It was quite terrible. Like the extra things like that he was like, I was tied to the bed. Is I tried to get up once and he was mad, so he tied me to the bed after that. I just wanted to get a blanket because I was cold. So after she said that, I was like, okay, wow, what do I do with this? I was talking to a guy that worked at the community college and he was friends with the counselor. We were talking about it and he was mad at me because I didn't go to the police. And I was like, you know, I don't think I want to, because I've heard all of the horror stories that nothing good comes out of it. And I'm like, he was a veteran. Honestly, who are they going to believe? And I was like, I'd rather just not have to deal with it anymore. I didn't have like anybody really to help me through that, because like I wasn't really talking to that guy and I didn't want to keep talking to the counselor. A guy that I dated my first year of college, I ended up talking to him again and we ended up dating for like a year, which I don't know why I did that, because the first time I dated him, we stopped dating after a month because I found out he had a girlfriend. So the second time I started dating him, about a couple weeks maybe after the assault, he said he didn't have the girlfriend anymore. Turns out he still did. At this point, he'd been with her for like 7 years. I found out a few months in. And by that point, I was like, well, it's kind of too late because I built feelings for him and now I don't know what to do now. Part of me kind of wants to hate him, but I can't, because he's the only person that was there for me and helped me get past it. I think that was also part of the reason why, too, that I couldn't just get up and leave. At one point, near the end of the year that I was dating him, he was going to come to my house and stay for a little bit, never showed up. So now at this point, and he wasn't answering the phone either, so I didn't know what to do. Now, the only person that helped me get past this is just ghosting me at this point.
And you're what, 20 years old at the time?
Yeah, by that point, I think I was 20.
Am I going to make a correct guess here that suicide attempt number 3 is coming soon?
Yeah. I didn't know what to do that night. I just kept like fidgeting, like I didn't know what to do with myself. And then I went to sleep. The next morning, I tried to contact him and I got nothing. I was like, you know, I'm just going to kill myself. And I drove to my college and went to the counselor. And I just said to her, I was like, I'm going to kill myself. And I think at that point, it was like the cry for help. She ended up calling the police. They sent me to the hospital. I was there for not even 24 hours.
You talked yourself out?
Yeah, I talked myself right out of there. They had the psychologist like on Zoom or whatever the Zoom equivalent was back then.
Yeah.
Talking to a TV. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not that bad. No, I don't need to be here. Oh, no, it was a momentary thing. He goes, she doesn't need to be here. Send her on an outpatient. And then they called my counselor to give her the update. She was livid. She was like, oh my God, she came in my office. She was like, I'm going to kill myself. Why are you letting her out? And they're like, she doesn't need to be here.
There might be some truth to that. Even if you want to kill yourself, that still might not be the right place because chances are, as we know, there is no right place.
Yeah, no. When I went to the outpatient wasn't that great either. My outpatient was the second version of therapy that I got. The first one was at some point when I was in high school. And this woman was a terrible therapist. All she did was brag about her daughters.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. Every time I went in, she had no notes. I knew more about her daughters than she knew about me. And I went to her for a while. And eventually I just said to my mom, I was like, why am I doing this? All she does is talk about her daughters. She's like, why didn't you tell me? She went to the desk and told them. They went and looked in her files and they found nothing on me. And same with some other patients. They ended up getting rid of her. And they asked if I wanted to go to another therapist. And I was like, I just don't even want to bother now.
Same what happens with hospitals often, right? You go in, it sucks. Why would I go back?
Yeah.
So this is the second version of therapy you're getting.
Yeah. And this woman was the most judgmental woman I've ever met.
She was worse than the first one. Is that possible?
Well, she just judged everybody. She made the most like rude remarks, everything somebody would say, like they're pouring their heart out. And she's like, but why would you do that? I would never do that. Don't you know you're not supposed to do that? Like, oh my God, you went with them there on the first date? Like, I ended up finishing the program and I just left. Right after that, I ended up in a physically and emotionally abusive relationship. This guy, like, one time he punched me in the face, like threw me against like a brick wall. Say horrifying things to me. He would never let me explain why I didn't like doing certain things sexually by my assault. He would never let me explain it. But then he'd still be mad if I didn't want to do something. I finally was just like, you know, I don't want to do it because of like, and I told him the whole story. And he was like, oh, you just ruined my sex life. And he'd be mad that I wasn't wearing certain things. And it just kept going on and on. I was with him for like 2 years or something until I finally was just done.
So you have sounds like you've had a challenging dating life. Just going by what I'm hearing here.
My third therapist was during my abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me to stay and that everything that was happening was my fault.
Oh, you have really had some shitty luck with therapists, Jesse.
Yeah, I don't really want to try another one, but everyone keeps telling me you should. And even my fourth one was terrible.
So you're in your 20s. I know you're 30 now. So that third attempt, near attempt was like early 20s. I know you said depression has stayed with you your whole life. So I know in your 20s, you're still dealing with that. I know that you've had really shitty luck with therapists. And can I say men too?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the fourth one that's a half attempt? Or I don't know your exact words that you used to describe it.
It was almost like the same thing as the third one.
Okay.
It was in 21. So it was like 3 years ago. COVID happened. One day, like everything kind of just hit again. Drove myself to a mall that's like 30 minutes from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat there and I was like trying to figure out a way to just kill myself. I need to figure out something that I can do right now. I remember hearing on one of the other episodes, I don't remember what her name was, but she said everything she looks at, she thinks of how I can kill myself with that. I have like the same thoughts, but not to her extent. Like they're not constant, but at least like 3 times a day, I'm like, I can kill myself with that. And it's like a mental note. Like, okay, I could use that for later. One of the things that does always, and it's so sad, one thing that stops me a lot from killing myself is my cars, because I don't want to hurt my car. I know that sounds so weird. Like, I love my cars more than I care about myself.
Usually I hear dogs and cats, but you have cars. Great.
One of my thoughts was, I've always come back to like, oh, I can just turn the car on in the garage and eventually die. And I'm like, yeah, but then the car has to go to like hazard clean. And I'm like, I don't want to do that to my car.
What happens at the mall, though? Do you turn around? You just leave?
So I'm sitting there for a while and my now boyfriend ended up texting me. And I was like, hey, I'm at this mall. I don't remember exactly what I said to him, but I said something along the lines of like, I just want to die. And he immediately went to the mall and stayed with me. And I feel so bad for what he went through, because for 2 weeks, and it was like right when we first started dating, I was just crying constantly and just constantly like, I just want to die.
Mm.
Like just burst into tears. I have no control over it. Like for 2 weeks straight. And I don't know why he stayed, but he did. I'm amazed that he stayed. At one point he said he was like asking his friends. He's like, is she testing me? And I was like, no. I was like, that would be a terrible thing to do to somebody.
But well,
at least it worked.
When you had said it that day, that led to the 2 weeks of crying after the mall, like that it would just, things had piled up, just piled up.
I mean, everybody was hit by COVID. Yep. It was that. It was, I mean, I have a lot of cars, so I do look at them a lot and I'm like, oh my God, that's a lot to do. And it just seems so overwhelming. And that gives me like tremendous anxiety. And then I get depressed because I'm like, oh my God, they're like, my poor children are sitting in the driveway. And
how many cars do you have, Jesse?
21.
What? Where are they?
On my property.
What do you live in? Are you in the country?
It's like old farmland, suburban, rural.
So you restore them. Do you do mechanical work as well?
Yeah, I do everything except for like major frame fixes that I have to take it to a shop. But other than that, I do like everything.
You just learned it on the go? Or how do you learn stuff like that?
Yeah, I came from a family of drag racers.
Oh, shit.
So my dad, his best friend that I called my uncle, and my dad's cousin did a lot of drag racing. And it was the type of drag racing that you bring your own car, mm-hmm. you fix your own car, you fund yourself, and you just drag race on Sundays. So that's pretty much where I got it from. My uncle was like always telling me when I was younger, oh, you're going to be the one that's in the cars. When I turned 1 year old, he gave me a huge Hot Wheels collection. It was so sad because he actually died. Yeah, a few months before I got my driver's license.
Wow,
he ended up dying, which was sad because he never got to see any of my cars or anything that I got to do. Yeah, I still think he's around. And I think he really likes my Camaro.
Why were you looking for a podcast with the word suicide in it somewhat recently?
I think for the exact reason that you're making it, quite honestly. I hear like podcasts about death, podcasts about mental illness. And I'm like, you know, every day, like when I was in the hospital, they deemed me on the suicide watch. Unless they had a really well hidden camera, no one was watching me. And there were things in there, like I could have done it if I really wanted to, like if I really was resourceful. I mean, I think about it all the time. Like whenever they have like those questionnaires about mental illness and they're like, have you thought about suicide? And I'm like, you know, the answer is yes, but I'm not like constantly every day, like, let me kill myself. And I'm going through with the plan every single day. I guess they call it like the suicidal tendencies. And I just really wanted to know if other people were thinking the same thing.
They are.
Yes, I literally typed in the word suicide on the Apple Podcasts and it came up and I was like, ooh. Yeah. And it actually took me a little bit to listen to one of them. And when I finally did, I was like, wow, I'm not the only person thinking this.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely helped because now I really know I'm not alone in my thought process.
How many people know that we're talking?
Just my boyfriend.
How many people know about any of your attempts?
Not many. Mostly just my boyfriend, probably some of my exes, maybe a couple friends that I had. Other than that, not really anybody.
How often?
That I guess my mom knows because she was told about the hospital stay, but I don't know how much she was told.
7 years ago, you had a conversation or maybe a series of conversations with your mom when you said you were 23. What led to those conversations after, you know, there was a long time where you probably weren't talking about these things and it all comes out then. What was going on?
My dad actually has Alzheimer's now. A lot of the things that he's saying kind of just made me reflect on my life, made me realize that my entire childhood, my dad was turning me against my mom. He was constantly complaining to me about her, telling me how terrible she was, how she like didn't want me to do this, didn't want me to do that, and then would raise himself like in my eyes. Like he'd be like, I want you to go do this. I will let you do this. I will buy you this. Made me not like my mother. which is sad because we never got to have a relationship that, like, a good one until I was 23. I didn't realize any of that. And that's when I got told my mom, and she was like, oh my God, that explains so much. She was like, that explains why you hated me.
So you have this, like, big, long sit down combo with mom, and the other stuff comes up about some of the stuff we've talked about here.
The main thing that we talked about was my father, and then we did end up bringing up the fifth grade ugliest girl thing. And she was like, oh my God, they never told me that. And honestly, I thought they told her, but apparently they never did. And the hospital where the doctor was telling me things that should probably be a malpractice suit, but.
Right. How many sit down combos have you had with your mom like that since?
Not too many. Like, we don't really have like an entire sit down conversation. Like, it was mainly that first one. And then every once in a while, something will like jog a memory and we'll talk about that. And that goes back to, I wanted my parents to get a divorce because it was weird because growing up, it was like my dad hated my mom. And I don't know, my mom didn't know that any of that was happening. So she's just like on the other side going, why am I being hated so much?
How many people do you have to talk to? And you can actually use the following words in this conversation when you're talking to someone. You ready? Here's the short list. Ready? Really depressed, # suicide, # That's my use for comma or semicolon. I don't know why. Suicidal, ideating. Yeah, that's my short list. And you can say those words and still engage in a conversation where you don't feel really shitty afterwards.
Probably just my boyfriend. He doesn't have like any really struggles with mental illness. So he does have a bit of a hard time fully understanding things that I've gone through and how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. But he does really try. He actually listens and he doesn't judge me for any of it. He's easy to talk to about it. And he also stayed when I tried to die for 2 weeks straight.
Points to him, for him, for sure. Do you, you said earlier that you think about ways, kind of like one of the other guests we recently had where it was, why do I say we? It's just me. It's not we, it's just me. So if you're thinking that way fairly often, like, are you thinking about not taking your own life, but is the idea of suicide on your brain, on your mind most days?
Yeah, I'd say I probably think about it at least 3 times a day.
Have you thought about it today?
Yeah.
I know that you had a very rocky relationship with your therapist. Did you ever receive a diagnosis that you think is correct?
The diagnosis I had were depression, anxiety, like a social anxiety, PTSD, and I want to say there's another one, but I can't remember what it is. The suicidal ideations.
Right. Do you take medication?
I can't. So I've tried to take antidepressants multiple times. I get every single side effect.
Oh.
I haven't been able to take medication, which is probably why I also am constantly down pretty much.
Mm.
So I've never been able to actually try to complete them because I can't even have the pills for like more than a day. The only thing that's actually kind of worked is I've been doing ketamine.
Okay.
But if I take it too much, I'm just sleepy.
Does anything else help you feel okay? I mean, I know you've got your cars, your babies. Yes. Does anything else make you help you feel a little less crappy, shitty?
Mostly cars and music, I'd say.
Wait, do you have Spotify?
Apple Music.
If I were to see your playlist there, what genre would come up most?
Different variations of punk.
Okay, you punk.
It'd be like all pop punk.
Did you or do you ever wish any of those attempts had worked?
Oh, that's hard to say. Looking back on everything, I mean, I'm not mad that I've gotten to this point. I don't think I would have been that mad. Not that you can be mad if you're already. To me, the only thing I've accomplished in my life is a whole lot of cars. I mean, to me, that's the only thing that I've done. And part of me is kind of like, well, it's the only thing I'm gonna do. Like, the flip side of that is, because I'm constantly like thinking about ways to like kill myself, I don't see my future. That's such like a weird thing to think about because I don't have like a set future in my mind that I know I want to do, which makes it hard to like really motivate myself to do anything because the only thing I see that I'm doing in my life is my cars.
Makes sense why you put a lot of attention to your cars.
Yeah. Like, I have like a list right next to me of everything that needs to be done. I'm slowly like, crossing it out. Like,
the list isn't going to get any shorter. We both
know. No, it's never going to get shorter.
It's only going to get... You have 21 fucking cars, Jesse. Yeah. Jeez. And by the time this comes out in a couple months, you'll probably have 40 fucking cars.
No. I'm actually shrinking the collection by a little bit. Because the goal was to have one of every model. And I have a couple extras that I don't want or need. So it's going to be down to 16 in total.
Well, I'll believe you. I'll believe that when I hear about it.
Yeah.
Now, slightly sensitive question here, maybe. I'm thinking back to that. I called him a moron. Now I want to change it to an imbecile doctor when you were in 10th, 5th grade. You said you couldn't swim or dance. You did both. You said you wouldn't date. You've done that. Nobody would ever love you. I can't speak on behalf of your boyfriend. He probably is wrong about that. But he also mentioned something about kids. Is that something that you're trying to do, want to do? Or is that, because you had mentioned something about future just there. And I was like, huh, where does that tie into anything?
It was put in my head when I was 10 that I can't have kids. So I've just been living my whole life knowing I'll never have kids.
Oh.
So now it's hard to like, it'd be hard to like switch and be like, oh yeah, now I want kids because I realized that guy was lying to me. Because it's already set in my mind. And also, like, I'm on, like, scoliosis pages on Facebook, and a lot of them have had not so much, like, horror stories, but they're like, when you're pregnant, then your back can get worse. And then you have to take care of the kid, and you're worse. If I had a girl, it's still passing down.
Right.
I don't want that kid to have a worse spine than I do.
Super weird question. I've never asked this before, and it may not make the final version. You ready?
Okay.
Relating to kids. Next week, you find out you're pregnant. ...
Honestly, I'd get an abortion. Thankfully, in New Jersey, that's still 100% cool. I'd say it would be really hard in order for that to happen. I mean, I've never been told I could technically have kids.
Okay.
But I also have PCOS. That's the polycystic ovarian syndrome, which really messes with like the hormones and makes it very difficult to get pregnant. And then because of that, I've always been on like the birth control pill.
Pink and purple pill. I give this pill to you and it does two things. You go to sleep, you die without pain. And if you choose, you can also, no one will know that it's a suicide. What do you do? Do you take it tonight, save it, or get rid of it?
Save it.
Do you think that kind of pill should be available?
Yeah. I mean, like that's like the assisted suicide thing. I would say mostly for like when you're sick.
How do you define sick?
Like if you're literally going to die anyway.
I have really bad news for you. Or maybe it's good news. We are going to die anyway.
Well, yes. Yes.
Not to get all existential here. I just wonder who decides then if you're sick enough to take that pill. Is that your choice? Is that a doctor's choice? Is that somebody else's choice?
Unfortunately, no. It's a doctor's choice. I mean, we should all be in control of our own fate. I mean, one of the things that I've said a lot in my life, because I did a lot of studying on suicide when I was in community college, too, was everyone says suicide is selfish.
Here we go. Oh, you just did my last question.
Oh.
So now let's segue to myths. Go on. I'm sorry to cut you off. Yeah. Selfish.
So like everyone says suicide's selfish. But if you've attempted suicide multiple times, you really don't want to be here and like you really just want to die. When is it selfish for them to want to keep you here?
Mm.
When does the table turn? It's not right for you to keep guilting them. Like when you attempt, if you're in the hospital after you attempted and the person that's next to your bedside going, how could you do this to me?
Right.
We need you here. When are you selfish for wanting me to stay? Because now you're guilting me into staying and I'm miserable every day and I still want to die.
And they're probably nowhere around.
Exactly.
Any other myths or misconceptions other than the selfish, which is a pretty common one?
I don't know. I think that's pretty much like the main one I've only ever really thought of.
Yeah.
Like I've heard other people say like, oh, it's not always you want to die. Like sometimes it's just like you want out of the situation. It's a cry for help, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess it just really depends on the situation and what's driven them to that point and how many times can you get there?
Yeah. You're 30. When's your birthday?
It's in February.
Are you going to make it to 31?
I would say like from where I am now, I don't see why not.
What are you going to do? What's the rest of your day like? It's 2:35 East Coast time.
It's like cold. Yeah, I've just been mostly working on my property and working on my cars. That's pretty much what I've just been doing all day, playing with my dog.
Wait, what kind of dog do you have?
I have a pug.
Oh, cute. Very cute. Dogs and cars, and you're waiting for spring, warmer weather. Yeah. All right, let's go back to our super duper exciting lives. Well, thank you again for speaking with me. Do you think you'll listen to the podcast when it comes out?
I don't know. I'm like worried about my own voice. My boyfriend will probably end up listening to it.
Well, either way, there will be people that hear it. So thank you.
Thanks.
Bye, Jesse. Take care.
You too.
As always, thanks so much for listening and all of your support. Special thanks to Jesse up in New Jersey. Thanks, Jesse. If you are a suicide attempt survivor and you'd like to talk, please reach out. Hello at suicidenoted.com on Facebook or Twitter/X, which, by the way, we rarely use. But nonetheless, our handle on social media is at suicidenoted. And oh, by the way, you can reach out for any other reason you want, even if you don't want to be a guest. I'd love to hear from you. A question, a comment, an idea. I'm game. Check the show notes to learn more about the podcast, including our membership. And a little love with ratings and reviews on podcast platforms, especially Apple, really does help people find this podcast. And we want more people to find it because there are some people out there who probably need it. And that is all for episode number 211. Stay strong. Do the best you can. I'll talk to you soon.